and are back 7:30 till late Saturday night. And don't forget Monday, we're closed just for August. We look forward to welcoming you and yours for a great time in Raglan at the Harbour View Hotel.
Starting a landscaping project or just need ideas? Come and see us at Raglan Landscape Supplies. We have all the landscaping products you need, from stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meters to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
Please check out our website, www.raglanlandscapesupplies.co.nz.
We are at 140 Tomato Road. Look for the big green wheelbarrow or ring 825 0577.
If you have ever thought about volunteering, now is a great time to contact Volunteering Waikato. Their website makes it easier than ever before to find the right opportunity in your town. Get involved in your community, boost your CV, meet new people and learn new skills. For more information, go to volunteeringwaikato.org.nz. Volunteering Waikato, enriching lives.
On the air, on the web, 24/7, raglanradio.com.
And Kira, good evening, Whangaroa and Raglan. You're managing to keep warm this evening. At least we've got the power back on, so that does help. It's just gone 4 minutes past six. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan. And let's start off with an interview that Aaron did during the week, talking to Raglan boat charters, the best known for the Waheni Moi. But you might have noticed them recently trying out a new boat that they've got, which I think is a 10-seater or something. But anyway, we'll find out more if we carry on listening to this, hopefully. So let's make a start with that and then do it the other way around this week, and then we'll come on to some weather and news and things like that, and then we'll hear a bit about energy and see how we're going by then, whether we're heading towards 7:30 for the end of Raglan Talking to Raglan, it now being 6:05. So here goes. And Andrew Barlow and Bell, I think Aaron was talking to.
Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. That was Spacey Jane there in the studio. I've got Andrew Val, or V2 as we're calling him, and Barlow as well. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, Andrew, you took over from Charlie in terms of ownership about, 3 years ago, in the middle of COVID?
It's 4 seasons now.
4 seasons.
Yeah.
That was a good time to do it during COVID, wasn't it?
It was. Brave.
Brave.
But Barlow is still here, so it made it a lot easier.
Yeah, Barlow's been the captain since forever, really, have you, Barlow?
I pretty much came with the boat.
You came with the boat. And Val, what's your role? Or V2, we're going to call you V2, are we?
Yeah, no, V2 works for me. Yeah. I've been doing a bit of everything, helping Barlow to run the boat and helping Andrew to run the company too.
So you're onshore?
Onshore, doing the marketing, making sales, and teaching a bit of everything in the business.
Okay. He's pretty modest. He just runs the show, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the ops, maybe.
Yeah.
Right,
he's
you guys go out and play on the boat. And
Barlow's the skipper and I'm the engineer.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Ops,
I take the credit.
Okay, you're happy to take the credit. Yeah. Hey, now the big news for you guys, the thing I want to talk about, is that you have a new boat now.
Yeah, we do.
It's not in use yet. But you're not sailing at the moment anything, are you? Like,
We are not commercially sailing. We had to get the boat licensed for more passengers and to be utilised in Raglan. So yeah, the maritime regulations in New Zealand are that boats are registered to operate in a certain place. We bought that boat in Whitianga, and
this is the new boat.
So we had to get it registered for here. So
yeah,
but yeah, the Waheni Moi is operating on the 27th of August, our first cruise. So normally it would be the 1st of September, the start of the season, but we've got a cruise on the 27th, so we're away.
Oh, you've got some people who want to get on board.
Got some people that want to go out.
Okay, and the new boat, what sort of boat is the new boat?
So the new boat has a really interesting story. It's an amphibious sea legs. It's 9 metres. We've had it surveyed for what is 12 passengers, which is 11 passengers plus one skipper.
Amphibious, meaning?
It has three wheels.
It has three wheels.
That propel itself down the road.
And I've actually just seen a little video of it driving around the car park at the wharf. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit of space there. You could tell it was winter. What happens to the wheels, though? That's what I'm thinking. Is it like a plane? When a plane takes off, the wheels tuck
in?
Do they do that?
It's exactly like the landing gear on an aeroplane.
Okay.
You deploy the wheels before you come in to land on the beach.
Yeah.
And, yeah, once you're in deep water and the boat's floating, you just lift them back up again.
Okay. And Barlow, are you going to be driving the... do we use the word drive even? Piloting that boat?
My primary will be still the Wahine Moi, but, yeah, I'll jump in on the new boat, Wakahuia.
That's the name of the new one, Wakahuia?
Yeah, that means treasure chest.
Okay. And why... why treasure chest? Why treasure... I mean... The answer's kind of obvious, but if you know the harbour, but why did you get the amphibious boat?
I kind of like my toys, to be honest. And
oh, is that what this is really about?
I might be driven by that. We realised we needed a smaller boat to cover the days when we don't get enough people to justify putting the Wahine Moi into operation.
Yeah.
And then there's those other times where the Wahine Moi is sold out and we've got more people that want to go, right? So I'm going to say first and foremost it was driven by the fact that we're disappointing customers by not being available.
Yeah.
So now we will be. And the plan will be exactly that. Follow the underflow for the smaller volumes from the Wahine Moi and the overflow from the Wahine Moi when it's booked out. But also when the Wahine Moi is booked out for private cruises, we can offer an alternative now.
Yeah.
That we will actually run a smaller sunset cruise or lunchtime cruise.
Okay. Is it faster?
Yes, it is. It's faster.
Yeah.
We can blade around the harbour at 35 knots to 40 knots if we wanted to, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's quite quick.
Yeah, that is. When you're out on the water, that feels... And it's because it's not so big, that feels really fast.
Yeah, it's pretty comfortable, though. It's a long boat, 9 metres, and so you don't really feel any... You could be out there today and it would be fine. And it's pretty stormy today.
Yeah, smooth ride. Ride's real smooth in the chops and stuff like that.
I presume you'll be able to go to places with this that you haven't been able to with the Wahine Moi.
Yeah, I mean, it really does open up a lot more of the harbour, but also the coastline. So we've had the boat surveyed for those number of passengers, and we can essentially make trips out to Gannet Island or up to Kafia.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Among other places.
We also did a few sea trials on it already. We've practiced beaching on the north side of Raglan.
Okay.
We've been down to the waterfall down in Orkete. We've pushed right up into there. So the Wakahuia accesses a lot more of the bottom end of the harbour where a lot more history is.
Right, okay, because you love to tell those stories.
Oh, of course. You know, if those stories aren't told, they're forgotten.
And... Val, V2, have they let you out on the boat? They let you have a go on it yet?
They let me go, but not driving thing by myself. Not yet.
It's not true. We let him be in charge of the wheels.
Only the wheels.
Put the wheels up.
I have my driving license, not the skipper ticket. So.
it's quite difficult to learn how to coordinate your hand, eye, and two engines and two throttles.
Yes, yeah.
Two steering, and that type of thing. So... You know, Barlow and I, we spent a bit of time. So the history of the boat is quite interesting. It was called the Waka Kai.
Yeah.
It was owned by the New World Supermarket in Coromandel and Whirianga.
Yeah.
And they were delivering groceries up and down the Coromandel coastline from basically Kennedy Point down to Slipper Island.
That would have been very handy a year and a half ago.
So they started during COVID. They started during COVID and during that bad weather period as well. And they've been doing that so for four seasons. And actually, the boat could carry 500 kilograms of cargo. And they discovered that it was they had more demand than they could imagine. So they've actually bought a 12-meter inflatable amphibious boat so it can carry one ton of cargo up and down the coastline.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense over that part of the world. Their roads are... Yeah,
they were so apparently it's cheaper for them to spend $500,000 on a boat like that to deliver groceries for free, which is ironic. More than $200 per order is free delivery to the beach. And so it was cheaper than having two vans operating around the Coromandel coastline. Cheaper and quicker.
And I guess the novelty probably wears off, but it sounds like a really novel way to get your groceries at this point in time.
It's pretty popular. I mean, all three of us went over to be trained on how to operate the boat in beach landing and sort of swell or waves. And, yeah, every time you pull up on a beach, someone's got the camera out.
Yeah, I bet. So are you going to join the New Year's Eve parade this year, do you think?
I think that's a pretty good idea. And we would have the potential.
It's a good possibility.
Yeah.
Barlow's itching to drive it down the main street.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, yeah.
I always have been wanting to do something in the New Year's parade, especially with the Waiheke Mui.
Yeah. And those exhibitionist tendencies at the front there.
Yeah.
Like to be seen around the community. So you've owned the Waiheke Mui for 4 years?
Four seasons.
Yeah.
So we've
got it 3.5 years.
So December 2020.
Yep,
so
okay.
So 4 summer seasons.
So you've seen the tourist industry here through all ups, massive ups and downs.
Yeah, we started at the bottom 2020. I mean, we're 4 times the sales volume now than we were in the end of the summer 2020-21. Right?
Okay.
And we've also extended the season a lot. I mean, it used to be the boat would sort of do the Christmas period, November, December, and then the public cruises would start, sunset cruises, and they would run through till the end of March. And we're pretty much starting now from the 1st of September and running right through till the end of May.
May, yeah.
And then we take a 3-month
break.
Break, yeah.
So what do? You kind of set these guys free to do other things?
Yeah, Valerio went off to
Indonesia for a month.
Oh, yeah, surfing?
Yeah, surfing.
Yeah, of course.
Smashing myself on the reef, you know.
Oh, okay, you're good now?
Yeah, getting better.
Oh, good.
You're done fast.
Barlow, what have you been up to?
Of course, winter time is a good time for maintenance. Mm. So we did a lot of maintenance. We had our survey come up as well, so it was a good time to pull the boat out and get all the work done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had a big survey period now, so it was the end of term survey for the boat, which meant that the boat had to be out of the water and the inspectors come and they check to see that the boat is safe for another 10 to 15 years.
You've just done a lot of work on the aluminium, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what we were doing just last year in the CNL. It's been a little bit each year, but we've kind of got to the end, and we've just passed actually last week our new survey. So that's really, really good news for us.
It means
the boat's here for another 10 to 15 years.
Okay, well, that's reassuring. So that, I mean, I'm kind of intrigued about, like you say, that you're doing 4 times the business you're doing at the low through COVID.
Yeah.
Because there was, you know, I hear these things like, oh, the people don't go out like they used to and things like that. And I thought after a while, surely people are starting to go out again. Like, can you comment on that?
It's funny you should say that because I'm starting to get paranoid about everybody saying that there's a downturn. And I definitely think in the restaurant industry and all the restaurateurs in town here are struggling to keep the volume. I think we had untapped potential. So we were just digging into untapped potential. So I think that's probably what's giving us an inflated picture.
Yeah. Barlow?
Yeah, and if I could elaborate on that a little bit more, I think it's because we've been running so long, our name's out there, so a lot of it's, I think, is to do with the name.
Yeah.
You know, that's drawing a lot of the people back. Last year, we had quite a few returning customers.
Okay.
That have been out on the boat before.
Yeah.
And they've come back, brought their families, because they've had such a great time with us.
And can you give them a different tour, a different story when they come back?
So what happens is normally I feed off the boat. You know, I feel the vibe, what the people are into, and then I narrate my stories around that.
Yeah.
Just to keep it fresh and keep it going.
Have you got stuff have you got locals, like old school locals? Can you tell them stuff they don't know as well?
Definitely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and vice versa. They've shared stuff with me, and that's one good thing about the boat. It's all about sharing.
It's very interactive. It's very interactive, you know. I mean, the guys from, for example, the Raglan Ramblers, you know, every time they come on the boat or if we see them out in the town, you know, they always teach us something new.
Yeah, they know John Lawson.
John's fantastic.
John knows. He's like a human library. He just remembers everything.
Yeah, we need to somehow record all of that. He needs to spend more time with Barlow because Barlow learns by oral history and the rest of us all learn by reading.
Yeah, well, we're all different. So has your experience of untapped potential, like all of Raglan could be considered to have untapped potential?
Oh, definitely, yep. And we see, other tourism operators and, we all working together. We can see what Steve's doing with the kayak. kayaking. You know, he's really well established and does very good volume. And the school groups coming through are getting stronger all the time.
Yeah.
Raglan Rock, they've gone from strength to strength over the last few years, and they've got a lot more potential with Harry and his team and what Gareth's set up.
Yeah.
They've got the canyoning, they've got the glowworm tour, and they've got the caving, and they've got rock climbing, and they've got more bigger plans too and bigger locations.
So with all these different businesses in town, are people able to come to town and say, oh, we're going to go out on the water, we're going to do some rock climbing, we're going to do this, we're going to do that? Is that kind of that sort of thing happening now?
We get the inquiry all the time, and I think there's a demand for that, to sort of have the weekend adventure package come to Raglan and lay it on with the surfing as well.
Yeah. I know my wife does. She works for Extreme, and she organises the tours up there.
Yep.
And they've had people coming through, and they're with Raglan Rock, but they're also taking in a little bit of the eco side of Raglan, and they want to check that out.
Yeah,
it's all part of the experience.
Barlow will confirm or correct me, but pre-COVID, a lot of the buses that were coming through were bigger numbers, larger buses.
Yeah.
Up to 40 people on a bus.
Yep. No, that's about right. We're far straight.
Yeah. And did they stop or something?
They all scaled down, and so now they're starting to become much more mobile and a little bit more intimate, I guess, smaller groups, up to 16 to 20 in a small van.
Okay.
Which sort of suits us perfectly, suits the surfing perfectly, the Raglan Rock, Adrenaline Alley, and their activities as well. So that's the kind of the tourism has actually changed a little bit in that regard, which is great for Raglan. You know, Kiwi experience with 50 people on a bus, they can't find accommodation here. But the smaller operators can come in with 20 and find something for them.
I must admit, like having been all around New Zealand, the best experience for someone coming from overseas would be to go to all the little places.
Yeah.
Right. If you're on a bus that fits 50 people, there's all sorts of places you can't go to, and they're the best places.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. We had when my kids were little, we had a house bus for 6 months, and we drove all around the country.
Mm.
And the harder the place to get to, the harder it was to get there, the better it was kind of the golden rule, really.
I think
the Wahine Maui and the new boat.
Yeah, perfect for that.
That fits that rule as well.
It does, yeah. No, I definitely would like to see a consolidation of, the adventure activities in Raglan. I just mentioned a few, and, Adrenaline Alley are doing the kite surfing and wing foil
school. Of course,
school,
yeah.
And they've got the electric e-foils, and, they're the largest e-foil importer into New Zealand, and they're sitting here right in Raglan.
Yeah.
And that's a fairly premium product. They've actually got the distribution rights from Weidu in China, who are a pretty serious manufacturer of these e-foils.
Yeah.
They're actually 25% owned by DJI Mavic.
Are they?
The drone company.
Yeah, I know, so DJI. Everybody knows they do good stuff, man.
They do good stuff.
Their stuff is good.
So does Weidu. Yeah. They've got a good product, and it's sort of the basis of the flying school.
Yeah. Val, you're the youngest man in the room. Have you tried all these different adventure sports in Raglan?
Yes, I tried kayaking. I've been trying e-foiling.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the Raglan Rock activities yet.
You're nice and long, so you could be good. You could be good at that.
I should reach anything, anytime. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been trying mostly of them just to be able to support everyone and promoting them on the boat when people ask about activities on the boat. I agree with this. Like, more activity we have in Raglan, and I think better it is for the public to come in Raglan.
And you're telling all your friends back in France, come to Raglan?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell them, but it's a long way away, so it's hard to get them here.
It is. Well, you got here.
Yeah, I got here.
The town is full of people who managed to get here.
They come here and never leave.
Yeah, well, this is
it's like Hotel California.
Yeah.
Without the issues. There's some of those too. So, folks, we're talking to Andrew Barlow and Val from Wahine Maui. And Wakahui. Where do we say you're from now? What's your company called?
We've always been Raglan Boat Charters.
Raglan Boat Charters,
it's
okay.
It's always been Raglan Boat Charters. That's the trading name in the company, and that's the website as well.
Okay.
Mm.
So, for people who don't know, just remind what the Wahine Maui can do. You can go out as an individual. You can book the whole boat, can you? You can do what you like.
We can do private cruises. So yep. From about 12 people to 70 people, we can welcome people for hands do, for a wedding, for like a private party.
So the maximum is 70 people?
70 people for the wedding.
Because we were arguing about this at, the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's 70 passengers and 70 passengers and 5 crew.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's actually 75 on the boat.
Okay.
So this is the capacity of the boat. We usually limit this capacity to 50 people for the public cruises. Mm. Just to give some space to the guests that we have on board.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we also offer public cruises, which is the lunchtime cruise, the sunset cruise. This is our signature cruise during the summer. And, usually we have, like, up to 50 people every day pretty much in January, which is a good number for us. We try maybe to open some new cruises if we have public interested with this, like breakfast cruises if we can.
And,
complete this with the Wakahuya.
Breakfast on the water and a calm morning would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, magical, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I could see that working. We've had some really... not today, but in the last few weeks, we've had some really calm days out on the water. I noticed it's been glassy. And it doesn't get very glassy in our harbour very often. But
It's nice but cold.
It's a little bit cold.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about the increase in volume that we've experienced, and I think a lot of that's just consistency. If you're consistently, running to a schedule, then people get to know it. And we just haven't been brave enough yet to start, investing in the breakfast cruise on a regular basis. But it would be a great thing to do, maybe once a month or something like that,
Yeah, just publicise it.
Just to see where the volume is and then go from there.
Yeah. So how many people do you get? People just go, I'm going to go to Raglan. That's where I'm going to have my holiday. And then they get here and they haven't planned anything and they're wandering around. Do those people find you guys?
Yeah, they do. Definitely. Yeah. If they're either, we've got signs all over town. The Raglan radio station tends to help us quite a lot with advertising.
Yes, we do.
We've got... I think everybody sort of knows we're here. And if you go down to the wharf where everyone seems to eventually make their way down there, it's pretty hard to miss that we're there.
Yeah. What do you think about... I didn't plan to talk about this at all, but it just popped into my head about, they've talked for ages about an internal bus in Raglan rather than just one that goes from Hamilton. That would run from the wharf out to the beaches, the surf beaches and things like that. Do you think we're big enough for that? Because that's the big question.
Hmm.
There's a lot of staring into space happening now in the studio.
No, I mean, we'd have to talk to Steve about that, to be honest, who's got the Raglan shuttle.
Some talk about that with Charlie. And I think he was thinking about trying to start up a little bus run back in time.
Yeah, well, the council's been... There's been talk at council about it, but only... Yeah. The public buses are funded through three different institutions all at once, so you're trying to get them all on board has been challenging.
I think that'll be a great idea for Raglan.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's needed.
Yeah.
I don't know if the demand is there. That was why I was sort of umming and erring.
And that's why I asked the question.
I don't know if the demand is there, but I think the necessity is. And those things, they're public service interest, and they should have some level of subsidy. But I think our councils in general around New Zealand will leave something like that to the local, free market to decide whether there's a demand.
Which is not how buses work.
Which is not how buses work. And, no. And that's why, when Raglan Shuttle came up for sale, I sort of thought, wow, that'd be a great compliment to the Wahine Moi, but at the time I was going to take on two businesses in the middle of COVID. Two transportation
that's
people moving businesses.
A bit of a death wish to get too carried away. Hey, look, it's time for us to wrap up. So just remind people, the Wahine Moi back on sailing again on what date?
27th of August.
27th of August, and when can we try out the new boat?
I'm going to say it's middle of September. I've got one little modification I want to make to it, and then I'll be happy with it. And we've still got to put some stickers on it and a bit of bling.
Oh, yeah, bling it up a little bit. Yeah. And so the new boat, if you've just tuned in, the new boat is an amphibious boat. It has wheels. They retract like an aeroplane's wheels do. That's my little piece of info I've gleaned this morning.
You're right.
And maybe we'll put some... We'll get some pictures out there on social media because I think people will be intrigued by that. Yeah. Nice to have you guys in the studio. Thanks for coming in. Barlow?
Thank you, Aaron.
Andrew?
Cheers, mate.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, time to go. And we are, it's the end of the morning show. We've got the generator going outside. It's getting a bit of an irritating noise having that outside the studio all the time, but we will stay on the air hopefully through till 12:30. The lights haven't come back on the studio. The power's definitely not back on yet, but we're going to keep going all morning. If I can control the mouse, we'll go to the ad break.
Which is what we will do, because we've got to the bottom of the hour. And we have got power this evening, and we haven't got any storms forecast. It's still 4 metres swell out there, but I'll tell you a bit more about the weather after we've had the bottom of the hour. Join me on Raglan Talking to Raglan as I find out more about Whangarā, its politics and environment, or talk to Raglan and Whangarā on the show, Tuesdays 6 till 7.30.
From 1994 to 2024, this is Raglan Community Radio.
Our station, 98.1 FM, is celebrating its 30th year on air.
To our past and present DJs, sponsors, listeners, and supporters, we say...
Gracias.
Thank you!
98.1, the best in the West.
Raglan Community Radio, at the heart of your community for 30 years.
Tune in and chill out.
I was expecting it to carry on longer. Bottom of the hour often catches me at. It doesn't end with the same jingles as the top of the hour. Anyway, it's now 28 minutes past six, and well, let's have some music. Let's have album known as Adagio, which I press that button, then press that button. You should be able to listen to it. So that was the Albanoni's Adagio. And you're listening to Raglan Talking Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. You're on your Whangaroa at 22.6. And it did sound like an old piece of music. In fact, it's based on 17th century composer Albanoni. But it wasn't actually written by him. It was written in the 1950s. By somebody who wrote his autobiography, and then found a scrap of music and thought he would do something with it. So that's how that piece of music came about. So 1950s version of 17th century. Let's have a look at what else is happening or what is happening. That was a long time ago. Weather is going down to about 7 degrees overnight, which isn't as cold as it's going to be in a night or two when it's going down to 5, which is about the lowest it's going to get this week. Currently around about 10, going up to 15 most days in the next week or so. Pressure fairly high, 1,026, which means there's not much in the way of showers around. Might be an odd shower now and again. There's particularly this evening, less likely until we get to late on Friday and into Saturday. Saturday is probably going to be a few showers around. The wind, I'm not sure that it still is. I certainly believe it was southwest, so we have 20 knots, probably was a lot more than that for a while. And as a result, we've still got quite a high swell running, a southwest swell of 4 meters, and the next high tide will be 10 to 11 this evening, 3.5 meter high tide, so quite high. And with that 4 meter swell running, could well do some more eroding of the beach along by the airfield. And notice that when I went along there on Tuesday, Sunday, beach had eroded to within about a meter of the windstock on the airfield, and it all looks pretty soft sand. So if we get another 3.5 meter high tide and we get this swell continuing at 4 meters, then could well do some more damage to the area. Maybe even the third windsock will disappear. You can see a line of the windsock foundations on the beach. Each time they've left the concrete foundations there and just put a new windsock in, and the foundations are big enough not to be washed away, but the sand around them does get washed away. So, as I say, there's a line of them there. And the next high tide we'll actually see will be slightly lower than that, 3.4 metre high tide. That will be at 10 to midday tomorrow. And the days quite rapidly getting longer now. So we've got an extra 9 minutes in the morning. So 5 to 7 is now sunrise, and we've got an extra 16 minutes in the evening. Quite sure how that worked out, because last week we had a shorter gain in the evening than we did in the morning. So I'm not quite sure whether these figures are right, but we're supposed to have a sunset now at 6:09. And looking at what's on this week, I've got a fairly short list, and I don't know whether it should be longer, probably should be. If you want to see all the regular events which are on, have a look at our Raglan Radio page on the internet, and have a look at the What's On list. You'll see a whole load of things on there, including Trivia Night, which is on in quarter of an hour's time. at 7 o'clock at the Harbourview Hotel. And as I say, there's a load of other things happening. The ones that I've got in my list are that the Raglan Ramblers are going rambling tomorrow morning, different place each week. This week going even further than Cambridge last week, going off to Mongatotri, which is the mountain beyond Cambridge, which has got a big fence all around it to keep the pests out. The sort of fence that they're talking of putting a tiny one up in Wainui Reserve to protect the proposed outfall from the sewage, which I was talking about last week. So it'd be an opportunity to look at what that fencing looks like and hopefully to see or hear some of the birds which are being protected by it. It's always a matter of luck when you go to Mongatotri whether you see or hear anything. There's quite often robins around, so we don't have those locally. And there's quite a lot of other birds in there, but they're not all that visible usually. And they're high up in the canopies, and some of those canopies are very high. But the trees are quite impressive to look at, and they've got an observation tower there that you can climb up into and look at the part way up the canopy, and but nowhere near the top of it. And for those who are more energetic, there's also a possible option of climbing up the mountain. So it's probably going to be a fairly expensive trip. It costs about $30 to get into the reserve. They point out that the cost of maintaining their fences is quite high. They reckon about $5,000 a day, so they need lots of money coming in. And hopefully a fence around the tiny bit of the Wainui Reserve Gully will be somewhat cheaper to maintain. That's going to cost about $1 million to build it, or to build it and put in the landscaping with it as well. So these things are expensive. It's an opportunity to go there and have a look round. And of course it's open every day except Christmas Day anyway. So Wainui Reserve's open every day, but I'm talking about Mongatotri Reserve, which is, open 364 days a year. Then on Thursday, Friends of Wainui have got a work morning. So that's happening 9 o'clock on Thursday morning at the Bush Park, 3.5 kilometres out of town. And on Friday, a continuation of the poetry events, which have been going on at the old school. So at 10:30 on Friday morning, the old school has a Readers Club National Poetry Day. And then in the evening, it's moving to the Wharf Kitchen and Bar down at the Wharf, down at the end of Wallace Street. So at 7 o'clock with what they're calling a poetry slam. So I think that's the end of the poetry week. But it's Poetry Day, as they called it, so it's on Friday. And those are all the events that I've spotted this week, but I'm sure there must be more, and I'll carry on looking and see if I can find any more, but I'll let you know if I do. The other thing which I spotted, which isn't actually a local event, but which is one which is a national event, not an event, but deadline, is that we've got until the 25th of August, another 5 days to put in submissions on what the government's calling the Second Emissions Reduction Plan. You might have heard something about it, saying that, yeah, we can manage to reach the 2030 targets, which weren't very ambitious, but then even that might be a bit difficult, and going beyond that is even more difficult. So you might like to look for the New Zealand Second Emission Reduction Plan on the Ministry for the Environment website and to answer some of the questions, which are things like, what do you think is working well to reduce our emissions and achieve the 2050 net zero target? And what I've managed to get so far is that it's good that the emissions fell 3.5% from 2021 to 2023. Hopefully they'll carry on falling, but what the government's been doing recently, I'm not too optimistic about that, especially if we start exploring for oil and gas and stuff like that. They also say that the government is taking a net-based approach that uses both emissions reductions and removals to reduce overall emissions. And they say that a net-based approach is helpful for managing emissions in a cost-effective way that helps grow the economy and increase productivity. That all depends whether you believe in a growing economy in a finite world. They ask for, what do you see as the advantages of doing that? And it does, for the moment, align with the Paris target that was set as our aim for cutting carbon emissions. So if other things don't change, that might work. Also asks, what do you see as the key challenges to taking a net-based approach? And there's a whole load of things which might be mentioned there, like planting and offsetting for reaching the climate change objectives seems to have a lot of risks. There's things like forest fires. So if you've been busy planting and all your plantings go up in smoke, then that suddenly is no longer a way out. And if you've got higher temperatures and droughts and things like that, as we move more and more into climate change, then that's going to become an increasing problem. Also, if you're just buying carbon offsets in the carbon market, then if things go bad, then you can't tell whether that price is going to go from the current very low to something much higher. And if you're relying on that as an economy, then that's a problem too. And they're also looking at carbon capture and methane vaccine, but those are still receiving lots of investment to try and find a solution. But they've been trying to find those solutions for several years now, and at least 15 years, I think, and still haven't, as far as I can make out, reached any useful point on that that makes them workable. So that the problem might be that the emissions targets can't be reached, and then that's going to cost money and restrict the economy more than if we tried to plan for a steady decrease and not hope that we can find some scientific solution, which, as I say, has not come about so far, or and rely on the planting and things like that. So I think there's plenty of things to say on this submission if you're interested. Of course, the Climate Change Commission's been doing quite a lot of work on all these things, and it's not too clear to me why effectively the government seems to be doing the same work that the Climate Change Commission has already done. So you might like to include a comment about that somewhere as well. But anyway, if you're interested, have a look at the Ministry for the Environment's New Zealand Second Emissions Reduction Plan. And we've got 5 more days to put in a submission on that. There's, as usual, the council has various meetings. Don't think they've done much in the way of stuff for Raglan at the moment, which is maybe news in itself that they seem to have been forgotten. you might have heard that interview where Aaron was asking questions about the local bus, and I noticed that one of the items on the agenda for the Infrastructure Committee coming up in a couple of days' time is looking at whether they can keep the bus going to from Pukekohe to Port Waikato. Port Waikato has an even worse bus service than we've got. We've got during the week 4 buses a day and 2 at weekends. And they've got a bus that runs every fortnight, which, not surprisingly, not all that many people use. So the Auckland Transport were going to keep it going until the end of 2026, and now they're talking about finishing it in October. They're saying that they're short of money and trying to find savings, which applies to all councils, I think. But it looks as though our council's moving towards spending $23,000 a year to keep that fortnightly bus running. They've got, according to the passenger figures, run 88 trips. Don't know how that works out. I thought it was running every fortnight, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But anyway, they say they've run 88 buses in 2024 and had 179 people travelling on them, which seem, in fact, I don't understand these figures looking at them. Should have looked at them before I started reading them out, because they say that the maximum number on any bus is 9. The average number on the bus is 8, which seems to be not much lower than the maximum. So whether they normally have more I'm puzzled by it. The maximum boardings in one day, I suppose they mean a trip each way, so they're counting a trip as being from Pukekohe to Port Waikato, and Port Waikato to Pukekohe is another trip, which probably explains how they've got those figures. Yeah, but yeah, it seems as though, not surprisingly, if you run a bus once a fortnight, then not many people want to use it. Presumably only those who are really committed to using public transport. Very poor bus service costs $24,000 a year. And it looks as though the council's going to pay that in order to keep it going. And there don't seem to be any proposals to improve it. And as Aaron was asking what might happen with a local bus here, and that normally would have appeared on the Infrastructure Committee agenda, but it's not on that agenda. So I suspect it's been forgotten. So it's going to take some campaigning to get it resurrected to the point where it gets discussed, and certainly to get it to the point where they're looking at funding, because even for $24,000 a year for a fortnightly bus, they look as though they're not too sure whether they want to do it. So we'll see what the outcome of that one is. They've also got a report on the all-day park, which they get every 6 months, the camping ground over at Papahua. So I don't think there's very much in the way of change from that. But if you're interested in what it says, then have a look for the Infrastructure Committee on the Waikato District Council's website and look at their report. It seems to be suggesting that things are going pretty well as far as the all-day park is concerned, but that's the been the story for quite a long time. I'm not quite sure. I haven't actually read it that carefully to find anything which is particularly new, but as far as I can make out, there's nothing outstanding there. Looking at some of the other things which have been in the news, then the footbridge access from Bow Street was supposed to be closed on Monday. Monday was the day when we had the really strong winds, so they certainly didn't do it that day. I'm not sure whether they've started yet, but they are planning to have that walkway closed for a week to allow them to put in the railings along there. They've just got the temporary ones in place at the moment. And I did notice that they've put a cyclist dismount sign. I'm curious to know if anyone's ever seen a cyclist remount sign, or is the council really trying to discourage us from cycling? And maybe that fits in with spending $250,000 on redoing the car park over at Papua, which seems to me to be money that wasn't really needed when there's so many other things and there's so much pressure on rates. But anyway, it's been done there, so that money's been used. As I say, the walkway probably is going to be closed for a week or so. I'm not quite sure from when to when. But they do point out that you can get to the footbridge at the end of Weenira Street, which is what was happening when they were rebuilding that walkway. So the walkway's closing because the concrete has now set sufficiently to fix the railings into it. And the only other story that I've spotted this week is about another council story on what they're calling September, saying the council wants you to refresh your wardrobe without contributing to fabric waste this September. With over 533 tonnes of fabric waste going into landfill from the district each year, the council is partnering with community groups to run workshops on repairing old clothes, doing bus tours to second-hand shops where you can buy clothes which might otherwise go to landfill, doing repair cafes, doing learn to sew events, and doing a booklet and an online app where you can find the vintage, second-hand and charity stores and support the work they do in keeping clothes in use and out of the landfill. And that comes from the current head of the waste services in Waikato District, someone called Sally Fraser, and says that in 2020 the council did some research on what we throw away, and they reckon that the average household throws away nearly half a kilogram of fabric waste a week. Seems an awful lot to me, but maybe that's because I don't throw things away until they fall apart. Maybe other people have different habits, do throw away half a kilogram, or maybe they throw away a kilogram to make up for what I don't throw away. But there's more information about September on the council's website if you want to have a look, and no doubt we'll be covering those events as they pop up next month. So that's taken us past the top of the hour. We're now at just coming up to 7:05. So maybe we'll have the top of the hour items.
Hi Raglan, Wayne Super Values. Come in and check out our great specials with over 1,000 every week. If you are a gold card holder, every second Tuesday is for you. Present your card and receive an instant 5% discount on your purchases, including all existing specials. Our community cash grants are available to all local clubs and organisations. Our New Zealand Post and KiwiBank staff are here to help. We look forward to seeing you in store and being part of this great Raglan community.
Do you want to switch to clean and renewable energy and reduce your electricity bills? Then Stendi Solar is here to help you. We provide customized solar solutions for residential and commercial properties. They're designed to reduce your carbon footprint and contribute towards a sustainable future. Our team of experts provide maintenance services to ensure your solar panels are installed correctly and always functioning efficiently. Call us 825 0214 or jump on our website at stendisolar.co.nz.
Looking for a conference room for your next get-together? Raglan Holiday Park's Hui Room is a modern facility that caters for up to 35 people. And with large screen, bathroom facilities and a full kitchen, it's perfect for team building, meetings, events and more. The Hui Room is only a few metres from the beach, which is great for extra activities, and accommodation is available for anyone coming from out of town. We do great discounted rates for locals too, so give us a call on 825 8283 today.
Raglan Community Radio supports the Code of Broadcasting Practice for the broadcasts of its radio programs. If you hear something you find offensive or intentionally misleading on our station, you have the right to complain. A formal complaint about a specific program or incident must be made within 20 days of broadcast of that program to Raglan Community Radio, PO Box 126 Raglan.
Raglan Radio 98.1, the best in the West.
I hope you're finding it the best in the West this evening. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio, Rangio Whangarā, at, was it 7 minutes past seven? And let's have another quick sketch of a Waiata. Hey, Puterino, Kauai, sorry, Kauiwi, Toroa. So let's see how we get on with 30 seconds or so of this. Tourists always tend to come up with some interesting sounds, but haven't actually found out the background to that one. Quite what instrument it is, presumably some sort of horn, probably made out of bone or something. But yeah, apologies, I haven't checked that one. I've also been delving back into the archives and found this one. You might remember the days before the Chronicle became a tabloid and when it was an A4 sheet in black and white rather than in colour, and only a few pages stapled together. And this interview dates back to those days when Stephen Frew was editing the Chronicle. So I don't think we've got time to listen to the whole of the interview because it's just coming up to... just gone 9 minutes past seven, so we've got another 21 minutes of Raglan Talking to Raglan, and this interview takes 38 minutes, I think, so we're only going to listen to part of it, but see how we get on.
Good morning, Stephen. What's it like being retired?
Good morning, John. I wouldn't quite say it was retired. It's busy. I mean, life's busy. It's been. I'm still in the process of supporting David and Jackie, the new owners of the Raglan Chronicle, and basically setting up the next phase of my life, so it's busy at the moment.
Yep, okay. Busy enough to forget about coming in this morning. So.
Yeah, well, my apologies for that. But, just
you
stuff happening.
The vet turned up and
yep. Well, basically,
life as a farmer is not as easy as life as an editor. Or?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would just say that at the moment when I'm still learning how to be a farmer, there's a bit more planning involved. And trying to match the two together isn't quite working how I'd planned.
Okay. Because why did you plan to get into being a chronicle editor?
Basically, I'm a printer by trade. And because of past business experiences, I thought that the Chronicle would be a nice add-on to a printing business. Mm-hmm. But it quickly, very quickly, became the business. And the printing actually got left behind until we moved down into the main street a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So I hadn't actually planned to be the editor as such. I just thought that, you know, it would be a nice little learner. And it wasn't until I'd been doing it a little while and a few people approached me about various issues that the responsibility of it dawned on me. Mm-hmm. And also the opportunity to create discussion and spread information really sort of hit home.
Okay, so you intended to be a printer and you were hoping everybody else would write the copy for you.
Correct.
You then found it didn't work out that way?
Well, it was more that people expected someone to mediate the information and to ensure that both sides of a discussion, if you want to call it that, or an issue, are presented fairly. And in order to do that, basically someone has to sort of sit in the chair in the middle and direct the music, as it were.
Yep. And you were doing all this from John Street for most of the time.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. As people who used
it in John Street when you took it on, or
we bought the house in John Street and then utilized first one of the rooms downstairs, quite a large room. Mm-hmm. Downstairs to as an office, and then once it grew a little more and the family got a bit older and wanted that space, we sort of moved it out into the shed we purpose built. And then again, once the business grew more and we determined that we'd be better served by being in the main street, we moved it in April 2 years ago down into where it is now in 20 Bow Street.
Yep. And so have you kept the same sort of machinery throughout? Or?
The printing press, we've upgraded. When we moved into the main street, we upgraded to the Ryobi that's currently used. And shortly after that, we bought the Kaleida folder, which has been out of action a little while, but now it's back in, stapling the Chronicle.
You had to fold it by hand for a while, did you?
Yes. Oh, not fold it by hand, but collate it by hand. We always had a 1950s bulletproof old folder, which sort of chugs away for days on end without stopping.
Yeah, because the advantage of being in printing trade is that you had a fair idea of what there was, but presumably it's a problem of avoiding the latest technology, is it?
The issues with technology is great when it works. Mm-hmm. But then finding an electrician or an engineer that is able to fault find on it with often sketchy information is quite difficult, and then getting one that'll come out to Raglan. I mean, we've been very fortunate with Raglan Electrical and Raglan Engineering. Those guys have pulled me out of the brown stuff on a regular basis for a wee while there with their on-demand and top-quality work. But, the latest, the Kaleida folder, solid-state switchboards, they're beyond most electricians without a wiring diagram, and it took me 6 months to find one that would come out and, and have a good look at it. And it was great. A chap from Livewire Electrical came out and did a bloody good job, but it just took me too long to find them, basically.
Yep. And I see from this week's Chronicle that we're in for a full-size colour print. Did you ever consider going that way? Or?
I did, but, congratulations to David and Jackie. One, for putting their hand up to run the Chronicle, because it's not an easy job. I mean, it's a good business. There's good money to be made, but it's not an easy job. And as David will quite happily tell anyone, he's not a printer, so his options were limited. And he's gone for a slightly more expensive way of producing the Chronicle by paying someone else to print it. But it's really exciting that he's going to be able to put colour in it. The tabloid thing on newsprint, that has its pluses and its minuses. A bigger page format will allow him to be more colourful and more decorative, and also possibly run more stories, but then there may well be some limits there because he can't just put in an extra half a page. He has to put in effectively an extra, I think it's 4 pages of the Chronicle each time he sort of fills a page. So it's going to provide him some challenges, but I think ultimately, it's, you know, the way the Chronicle was always going to go.
Yep, and if he's not using the printing machinery, you're going to be using
No, I have a restraint of trade on me on this side of the divvy for the next 5 years, so I'll still be doing some writing for David, and if he needs me, you know, he knows we've got an arrangement where he can contract me, but I won't be working for anyone else. And no, the printing gear, I think you'll see it on Trade Me shortly.
Okay.
Because basically,
anyone wants a discount, they can come and approach you meanwhile.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If there's someone out there that wants a Ryobi 500N in very good nick, or a 24-bin collator folder booklet maker, then they're available for sale at the end of the month.
Yeah. Because that's when he's going to stop using them. And
correct. Yes, he's going to skip an issue, because it's obviously going to take him a real while to reformat all of the templates. And now there's issues with the website, because the website is set up in A4 format, and so he's got a wee bit of work ahead of him in the meantime. But once it's set up and running, it should be really good.
Because the website was one of the innovations that you brought in, wasn't it? There was no website until about 3 years ago.
Was it
2 years ago?
I thought it was a little bit longer than that, okay. John. But yeah, no, I mean, it surprises me that we've already been in the main street 2 years. Like when we came up for the rent review, I was thinking, wow, was it that quick? But yeah, no, the website is great. I mean, we regularly get contributions from folks here in town that read it on the website, but we also have the technology to map whereabouts in the world people are reading it. And we followed someone, I'm not sure who it was, we followed someone on their holiday through the Caribbean, because they spent 2 weeks reading the Chronicle in the Virgin Islands, and they went to the Canary Islands, and you know, and as they tripped around, the kids and I could sit on the computer and say, "Oh, look, they're there now." So it was, and it is. It regularly gets read in the UK, in Australia, and in the States. So,
yep. Is it going to carry on the same with the website now that it's changing over? Because it's quite different from many other websites in that you can't take chunks of text out of it, and it's all in graphic form, isn't it?
Yeah, it is in graphic form, but that was as a service to our advertisers. The idea being that if you put an ad in the New Zealand Herald, then the ad doesn't appear on the website unless you pay specifically for it to be on the website. Yep. Whereas we looked at it as a further service to the advertisers, and that, yeah, exactly right, is that it is a graphic. We graphiced the whole page and then sort of squashed it down memory-wise to make it as quick as possible for people to read it, a graphic that size. But, yeah, I couldn't say. I mean, I guess I've recommended to David that he have a good talk with Shay Rogers, you know, a past Raglan resident who designed our website, and progress it from there, because I think it would be difficult to transpose that, but then I'm not a web designer by any means, so... Yeah.
Because the advertising is something you've managed to increase quite a lot, isn't it?
Well, that's your income, John. That's the aim.
That's how we get free paper.
It is. I've said it a few times, and I'm quite happy to say it again. In fact, thank you for the opportunity to say it again, that, you know, those advertisers have been feeding my family for the last 9 years, paying my mortgage when I had one, and it's something I've been really grateful for, and I think I've served them well. Because that's the aim, you know. Without advertisers, you know, then you wouldn't have a Chronicle.
Yep. Because when I first saw it in 1999, it was 14 pages, and now it's around about 20 pages, and most of that's the extra advertising. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Correct. Yeah. The advertising determines the number of pages, and basically, my job as editor was to get the balance right between, you know, sort of ads and content, and I'm happy to admit I didn't always get it right. Sometimes you get surprised by, you know, ads coming in at the last minute, or other times you'd get content that would suddenly evaporate or increase. And so, yeah, that was the challenge of sitting in that editor's chair.
Because there's those of us who discovered that you could send things in on Monday morning rather than the Wednesday that we were supposed to. And
yeah, well, I think deadlines are wonderful things, because you can say the deadline is when it is, and then if someone comes in afterwards, it's at your discretion. So that, like you say, if you rocked up there on a Monday with something urgent that you'd forgotten, that, or for whatever reason, and the situation was still fairly fluid, then yeah, I'd be a mug not to include it. And generally, I did, but I've always, because the you're outside the deadline, I've got the option of saying, sorry, this is the deadline, and you've not met that.
Yep. Is that going to change with turning over to an outside printer, do you think?
I think it will change. I think it has to, because David has a deadline that he has to meet. Mm-hmm. And if he misses that deadline, then he's going to miss his delivery deadlines, given that it's printed out of town.
Yep.
And he has to get it, you know, he'll have to email it to the printer and then receive the copy back. I would imagine that it would have to change.
Yep. And talking about delivery, I noticed that the masthead changed from having all post boxes to just having post boxes west of a deviation.
Yeah, well...
Is that significant?
Well, I suppose the difficulty we've had, one of the difficulties we've had is the delivery issue. And, we discovered that some of the rural delivery folks weren't getting it, and we felt it only fair to basically note that on the masthead, because while our intention and our best effort was to get it to every household, we found that we weren't actually achieving that, which is something of a disappointment to us, but we felt it should be reflected on the masthead.
Okay. I think everyone who tries to distribute things around Raglan finds that difficulty. You think they're going out everywhere, in fact you find that they haven't done unless you do it yourself by hand.
Correct. And we've done that a few times. I must say, in the Raglan Township we've had really good service from New Zealand Post, and a number of times, and it was some years ago that Georgina got very sick when she was the postie, and I actually I think my wife did Raglan West and I did everything else.
Yeah.
Over a day, and we've done that ourselves. I've not actually done the rural delivery one, although I've threatened to a few times.
That would be an even longer job, I should think.
I would imagine so. You know, it'd be a fair bit of time in the car, and you'd end up with a rather grubby car at the end of it.
And you realise what a problem the postie has when you start doing it yourself. And
exactly, when you walk
boxes down here or up there,
or away from the road, or
So. Distribution's always going to be something of a problem, but is it useful to get feedback from people?
Definitely. I mean, feedback. I mean, you live much like this radio station. You live and die on feedback. You know, basically, you want to know that people are reading it, that it's important, effective, ineffective, crap, whatever. You know, I'm not suggesting that for a minute that your feedback is is the final word. But definitely it's appreciated and taken note of.
Yep, because some weeks you seem to be inundated with material and other weeks you seem to be searching around whatever press releases or anything you can get hold of.
Yeah, exactly. And there were periods, depending on who was writing the press releases, how well they're written, or, if I'm honest, the editor's personal preference.
Yep.
that determined... how much of it was used and how much of it was discarded. But, I mean, what I will say is that, I mean, when someone took the time to write something themselves and it came directly to the Chronicle and I could see that, then it got used.
Yep. Because sometimes you edited things down quite a bit, or sometimes they appeared at the back of the Chronicle and sometimes on the front page. And that your personal preference?
Well, no, because, I mean, I had that difficulty as well, because those of you who know the way Tracy and I work is that basically I'm a broad brushstrokes person. Basically, I fired stuff in and wrote and did all that sort of thing, but the final page layout was done by Tracy.
Yep.
Sometimes we had quite vigorous discussions about that, and other times I was far too busy to even give it a moment's thought and was just grateful that it was in there.
Yep. And is there a sort of recipe as to how we get on the front page and what attracts your attention or what attracts the editor's attention?
The point with the Chronicle, the main point with the Chronicle is relevance, and the second, which is closely followed by it, is readability. So if it's relevant to local people and it's readable, then it's more likely to get used. And the greater the relevance or the greater number of people that it's relevant to, the more likely it is to end up on the front page.
Yep. But by readable, you mean what it appeals to the sort of reader with a 14-year-old reading ability? Or?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think that probably in Raglan we're fortunate that the age level is probably a little higher. But, yeah, the issue for most people that read the Chronicle, I mean, there are those that read it cover to cover, and that's great. And we could print, you know, Lewis Carroll poems, and they'd read them. Which, I mean, if you've read Lewis Carroll poems, you know they're reasonably difficult to read. But then there are others that once they get past 150 words, they struggle. And so what we've tried to do is limit the number of words per article to sort of 400-ish. Mm-hmm. And basically what we're saying to people is if you can't get your point across in 400 words, you're not trying.
Yep.
and you need to put a bit more effort into that. And I guess that's a little sort of grumpy, if you will, or arrogant almost, but the issue always is the balance between advertising material and content, and that balance you really need to not waffle too much if you can help it.
Yeah, because you've laid out the paper so that almost every page has editorial and has adverts on it.
Yeah,
and
that's
was that a conscious decision? Because some papers you have all the adverts at the back more or less, and I never get around to reading them unless I'm looking for something in particular.
Exactly, and whereas because with the Chronicle, we've only made the classifieds available to townsfolk, and we've kept them free. Then businesses are restricted to the display ads. Then we felt that only fair that those display ads be on the pages that people were reading, and we've had varied success with that. I mean, some businesses in town have actually stopped using the yellow pages, and don't advertise anywhere else. And we're really grateful that the people in Raglan, you know, sort of contribute to making the Chronicle that effective. Others, of course, you know, have struggled, but that could possibly be because of their business model or the fact that, you know, the way the business is run. It was definitely a conscious decision to A, have the display ads amongst the articles, and B, have the display ads on the Chronicle website.
Yep. And how do you go about setting the pricing for adverts? Did you experiment with it and find out what people would stand on?
No. Basically, we inherited the first price. I think it was $20 an ad when we bought the Chronicle in 1997. And our first step, because we GST registered, was to add GST to it. And there was a hue and cry when we added GST to it, mainly by the people who weren't GST registered themselves, to be fair. And then we increased the price once in that period of time, and basically that was because because of my own personal ethos about money and wealth creation, et cetera, that we were doing all right, and I didn't see any reason to increase that until our costs increased. And then our costs increased something like 60% over the period, and so we put the price up 20% because we felt that was affordable. And we've maintained it at that because, as I said, the Chronicle has made good money, it's been well supported, and I don't see the need to... Well, I'm not the sort of person that chases the dollar constantly. I had other aims with the Chronicle.
Yep. What were the aims?
Well,
I think we need to leave it there because we're just coming up to the bottom of the hour. So if you have been, thanks for listening. You might wonder when that interview came from. So that was an interview back in 2006, which is when Stephen Frew was just giving up the Chronicle and Dave and his team were taking it on. And so that's when the Chronicle changed from being black and white A4 to its current format. Anyway, hope you might join me next week from 6-ish till 7:30-ish. Here on Raglan Community Radio, here on El Fangara, and let's see if we can get some music going. Looking at the